God, this guy, I tried to keep up with him today, cannot keep up with him. And I climbed a mountain. I already told you that. I couldn't keep up with him. I tried. You are blessed people. You are very blessed. So, yeah, I got a little bit of a unique message tonight. One of the reasons I did it is because of what the worship leader said to me. What's your name, brother? Pastor Ethan said, I remember when you preached a youth camp in Arkansas. Well, when I turned 100 years old, they quit calling me to do youth camps. He remembered a sermon, an illustrated sermon that I preached on the snake. We all know what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We don't really know what verse 15 says. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And I put rubber snakes on a pole and crawled all around the campground there in Arkansas on the stage like a crazy person. And that's a little bit what you're in for tonight. I have some products in the back. I want to tell you about them just in case you're interested. First book I ever wrote was called The Third Chair, Implementing Lasting Change. If you look at the back, you'll see how young I was before I fell apart. It's about transformation. It's about changing something the Lord gave me on my way to Michigan one time. Then my Arkansas buddy, Dr. Jerry Nance, the Global Teen Challenge Director, he asked me to write a book with him on family life. I said, why do you want me to do it? He said, you know, you're such a weirdo. I said, well, thanks a lot. He's, you know what I mean, Joe. I said, not really. He said, I grew up in Arkansas cutting my teeth, went to revivals, went to Sunday nights. You grew up in such dysfunction. All my Teen Challenge guys are mainly like you, and I want them to have some principles. So we tell a lot of funny stories, he and I do, and practical principles. Then there's a large print devotional book, three for 30, three words a day for 30 days. It's large print, so I can see it. And then the thing I'm really the most pleased with recently, I wrote a novel called Irrevocable. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. I am passionate, just like your pastor. We talked about it at lunch with another pastor, trying to keep men and women in the ministry. They're jumping ship like crazy. Gallup says 75% of them, if they could figure out what they could do besides ministry, they would leave for a myriad of reasons. This is like a Grisham novel. It's also on Audible. And there's a price sheet back there, but the way I do it on this is any donation. If you need to be encouraged and one of these things may encourage you, you can have it. Anything from a nickel to $1 million. My accountant gets nervous over $1 million. But, I mean, if you have a cough drop, I like cough drops. I don't want the one at the bottom of your purse, ma'am. It's got hair on it. It's sticky. It's gross. I got some caps. I can't take a donation for the caps because they cost me a lot of money. But I don't make a lot of money on them. But this Be Somebody is a message. I made a film in Thailand in 2019. We were premiering it in 2020 on March 19th. It was on the front page of our local newspaper in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. We had red carpet purchased. I bought a tuxedo at JCPenney. I mean, it was going to be on. And then we got this virus in North Carolina. I don't know if you read about it. It's called COVID. And they shut down everything. The governor shut down. So I have given this film to the world. It's on the Inspiration Network. You can get it if you scan the code at the table. It's called Aren't You Somebody? The hat is, in reference to that, my friend went to Thailand in 1986 and he saw trafficking. The film is about a trafficking theme, so it's parents use your discretion. And he was just floored, and he pounded the table at breakfast and said, somebody's got to stop this. The government's got to stop this. The churches, somebody needs to do something about this. And the pastor in Thailand looked at him and said, you're somebody. Aren't you somebody? And so he went over there and started a children's home in 1986. 600 people have graduated. Every one of them's graduated with Jesus in their heart. They're lawyers. It's amazing what he's done. So anyway, that's what the film is based on. And then I do an illustrated sermon about forgiveness, and that's what free means. And there's a little key there that I use in my sermon. All right, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I gave a longer pitch because I'm not going to preach as long tonight. Everybody said hallelujah. We have two layers of altar tonight. I'm gonna call for people to respond to what I'm preaching. And we'll take as much time there as we need. And then we're going to pray for sick people. I'm going to pray for sick people. Lord, how amazing it is that you love us with an everlasting love. We're the apple of your eye. If you had a refrigerator in heaven, you'd have our picture on it because you're crazy about us, Lord. And how amazing that you use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm just perplexed. God, who am I? You would take a broken down, thrown away, illegitimate kid like me, given away, tossed to and fro, hurt in every kind of way, and let me be in a church like this with the quality of people that are in this room tonight. I give you the praise. And for the people that are healed, we'd like to tell you in advance, God, you get all the glory. Every bit of the glory goes to you. You're mighty welcome just to touch them in their bodies even right now, Lord, because you're going to get all the glory anyway. We praise you for it. Now help me prophesy and say what you want me to say in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Many years ago, 30 years ago, I bought a house in Columbus, Georgia. It was a big stretch for us. I had two kids, had a little small swimming pool. If you're ever thinking about getting a swimming pool, don't do that. It's such a problem. But we loved it at the time and loved the house, but it had a problem. It had a shrubbery problem. We had a shrubbery problem. They were everywhere. The corner of the house, behind the house, overshadowing that little swimming pool by the carport, and in the front sidewalk, they were shoulder high. I had to do like a Michael Jackson moonwalk just to get to the front door. One day I was in my office. I was an evangelist at the time. And I was just looking out the window talking on the phone. And I saw swarms of hornets going in and out of those shrubberies. And I'm going to tell you, I hate hornets worse than I hate a snake. I'd rather deal with a snake than a hornet. And I decided right then and there that I'd get out there and I was going to push those shrubberies over. It'd probably take me a long afternoon. Well, I bowed my back, you know, and I tried to push them over with a shovel and a hoe and some other equipment, and they laughed at me. They laughed at me. I put a chain around one of the shrubs, and I hooked them to my four-wheel drive red Toyota 4Runner and attached it there and let off on the clutch. To my horror, I did not hear the sound of shrubbery pulling out. I heard my bumper coming off. It hurts my feelings to say in front of a guy like Joe Gardner. Never claiming to be mechanical or horticultural, I fastened the chain to the thing I had it supposed to have had it on and thought I had it on, and I had better success. What I thought was going to be a long afternoon turned into two solid weeks of long afternoon and two full weekends. I contacted Georgia Tech Horticultural Department. I found out what my problem was. The problem was that the roots of my shrubs were actually connected to an elm tree in Gannarup, Western Australia, on the other side of the planet. I didn't have a shrub problem. I had a root problem. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, lest any root of bitterness, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Roots are important. I'm speaking about booting the root tonight. There are all kinds of meanings and connotations about roots. The old people in the room like me, you remember back in the 70s, there was a television program, a miniseries called Roots by Alex Haley. It made a big impact on my life. There's other connotations about roots. One is a term of heritage. What are your roots, darling? Another is establishing residence. We're going to put our roots down over here in Norton, Virginia. But the formal definition of root is on the screen. It's the underground part of a seed plant body that originates usually from the hypocotyl, function as an organ of absorption, aeration, and food storage. or as a means of anchorage and support differs from the stem, especially in lacking nodes, buds, and leaves. Roots are good, except when they ain't good. They can be bad because roots compete for nutrients with the good plants. They affect stabilization, and they suck the life out of desired plants. Let me give you what the Full Life Study Bible says about this passage. Root of bitterness refers to a spirit and an attitude that is characterized by intense animosity and resentment. Know anybody like that? Here it may refer to an attitude of bitter resentment towards God's discipline instead of humble submission to His will for our lives. Bitterness can also be directed towards people in the church, and it results in defiling the person who is bitter, making him or her unfit to approach God in prayer. Bitterness in the community of believers can spread and defile many, destroying the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So what we are calling this is our heart. This is our heart. This represents our heart. It's a metaphor for our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And so tonight, we want to be fruitful. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So if you just indulge me for a moment, using this pot as a metaphor. Y'all have a vacuum cleaner? We're going to need one tonight. We're going to need two vacuum cleaners tonight. I'm going to make this, oh yeah, this is good, rich soil. And what we want to do is we want to plant some seed in this thing. Above all else, make sure your heart is guarded because out of it flows the issues of life. We want to be fruitful. We want to be fruitful. So we're going to put maybe a couple of things of seeds in here. Oh, yeah, they got wet, so it's a little bit harder to. There you go. That's what that represents, our hearts. And we've sown some seed. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and I have prayed for tonight a gift of healing and miracles for this, your people, God. That's what I prayed for. And the word of knowledge, if God wants to give it to us, because He said earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14:1. But we also must pray for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That this will, there's nothing greater than love, faith, hope, and love. These three remain. I was adopted when I was 3. My parents divorced when I was 15. I was adopted by an Indiana farmer's son turned insurance salesman. And when we moved in from Indiana, we moved to the Ozark Mountains, not too far from here. I was adopted. My dad would leave on Monday morning, come home on Friday. My job as a 10-year-old was to pull the weeds and get the roots out of the garden. It's about a half an acre garden. I mean, for a kid, that was like, you know, huge. Because I knew that on Friday, my dad would be driving his green El Camino, and get his leisure suit wearing self out of that El Camino and check the garden to see if I'd done what I was supposed to do. The Greek word for leisure suit is ugly. I don't know if you knew that. And I'm going to tell you, 49 years later, I still hate that job. I hate it. My wife's the gardener. She never used to be, but just turned into a green thumb. And there's little weeds in the flower beds. I know I need to pull them, but I hate it. It gives me PTSD. You gardeners know you cannot plant or should not plant where there are a bunch of contrary roots. And in the believer's life, there are all kinds of roots that grow in the heart. You can talk about the root of lust, anger, condemnation, depression, fear, addiction, violence, rebellion, laziness, just to name a few. You can talk about the root of unforgiveness. I was telling the pastor today at lunch that I drag a 5x8 trailer and put an 18x6x6 3-cell prison on stages around the country, and I share my testimony in a multimedia deal. And I put people in the prison of my unforgiveness, and then I got to figure out how to get them out. And then what I do is I take keys, and they look about like that key on my hat, and I give them to the pastor. And I put him on one end, and I go on the other end. And I say, now these keys are not magical and they're not mystical. They are metaphorical. If you don't know how to forgive the person. A guy in Arkansas looked at me one day and said, you tell me, preacher, how do I forgive that guy that beat my daughter when she was 9 months pregnant? I said, sir, I have no idea how you do that. I just know you've got to do that. That's what the Bible says. Because if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And the pastor and I will just have folks queue up all the way to the back, and they'll come and they'll take a key, or they'll take a bunch. If they got to forgive the whole trailer park, they'll take a bunch of keys. And I see little boys with their mamas, single mamas, because daddy walked out on them, and I just see them weep. You know what happens? A root grows in their heart. A root springs up. And the Bible says that it's related to healing. And the Bible says if we don't deal with it, it troubles us and it defiles many people. We're closer, ladies and gentlemen, to the coming of Christ than we've ever been before. We cannot let anything stand in our way of being holy. We cannot afford to pollute anything in our hearts. So I'm going to spend the rest of my time spotlighting some roots. I'm going to give you 6 roots and 9 fun facts about roots. I'm going to talk fast, so you got to listen fast. It's not going to take long. I'm going to spotlight 6 roots. The first root is this. This is the easy pull root. This is so easy to come out. Just an index finger and a thumb. These are almost fun to pull. And the definition of this root is a root whereby just 2 fingers can pull this up, and it's no big deal. This is easy. And the application is this. You've been working hard all day, and you come to church, somebody says something stupid to you. My mother-in-law is 96 years old. She had a brain tumor in 1969. She was married to a backslidden AG boy, grew up in church, and when he was 40, he was an alcoholic. I've dedicated that white book there to him because he's one of the greatest men I ever knew, my father-in-law, Jimmy Griggs. When Nana got that brain tumor, Dr. Hazuri, a Lebanese doctor, he was actually consulted the day John F. Kennedy got shot. That's how successful he was. And he did the surgery on my mother-in-law. And he said to my father-in-law, who was an alcoholic, a world-class broadcaster, Hall of Fame broadcaster, he said, now, Mr. Griggs, you better be prepared to raise these 2 little girls by yourself because I don't believe she's going to last through the night. If her brain swells at all, we got her wrapped in ice, but if it swells at all, she's going to be dead. He went into a chapel, said, I'm going to make a deal with you, God. If you heal my wife, I will pour every bit of my liquor down the sink and I will serve you all of my life. And so he died in 2012 in his 80s. And I'm happy to report that his wife woke up in Columbus, Georgia today at 96 years of age with a very sharp mind, very sharp. God answered that prayer. He over-answered that prayer. I mean, he answered that prayer. But when they did the brain surgery, the filter came off. And my mother-in-law just says whatever's on her mind. I would love to have that spiritual gift. I'd lost a bunch of weight one time, and I walked in to see her, and I was really proud of it. She said, she's Southern Belle. She said, Joe, I believe every time I see you, you're losing more and more. And I puffed out my chest like this. You're losing more and more hair. Little root of bitterness sprung up right there. That's the application. But I know that she loves me. And so it's not that hard. I'm not going to let that live inside the garden of my heart. I'm not going to let that live because I know she's crazy about me. Another reason is because I've said a lot of stupid things. My own self, even this week in Arkansas. COVID made me socially awkward. That's the first root. That's the first root. Here's a fun fact about roots. If you have, this is no big deal in the garden, but if you had 10,000 of these, you're not going to grow anything. You're not going to grow. Roots, the bad ones, choke out the good plants. Here's another fun fact about roots. Sometimes they stink. You ever gotten one that stunk? I've got some up here that stink. Number 2, we call this the full pull root right here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the full pull. This is a root whereby a thumb and a finger is not going to do it. You got to put all the fingers of your hand around that root and give it a full pulling. full pull root. Here's a fun fact. Sometimes it hurts when you try to boot the root. Your hands get cut and bleed. You get calloused. Or you're worse, you get blistered. I'd cry to my mama, "Mama, I'm blistered." She'd say, "Ice up, son. Man, I'd rub some dirt on it." Y'all are tough in Arkansas. I smashed my finger trying to help Pastor Joe today. It wasn't even a speed bump for him. I was running like a little missionette trying to get the blood off my finger. This guy here cut his hand off, just put a towel around and keep on going hard after Jesus. But pulling roots hurts. The Bible says in James chapter 3, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. It hurts. But no matter how much it hurts, we got to pull it. Here's the application. You've been discouraged lately. You can't really put your finger on it. Something has sprung up in your heart. You have to put all the fingers of your spiritual hand around that thing and get it out. Number 3, this root here is called glove required. Glove required. You're not going to get this root up with a finger and a thumb. And you're going to try to give it a full pulling. But you got to have, this is an Arkansas root right here. You got to put a glove on. You got to put a glove on and get that thing working. That's the definition of that root right there. Here's another fact. The longer you wait to get the roots out, the harder it is. How many testify? Whether it's in nature or whether it's in spirit, the longer you wait to deal with that root, the harder it is to get out. Man, here's the application. A man has an anger problem. Instead of dealing with it when it was small, instead of dealing with it when it was just itty-bitty, like just small, when it was easy to get out, he let it grow. Now he says things to his wife and to his kid that's reprehensible. He needs to get the glove on right now. It's just going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. I know, because I had an anger problem. It was modeled to me growing up, and I used it as an excuse and a crutch, and God had to reach down into my heart and get that thing out. Here's another root. We call this root right here. This root is called elbow grease root. There's a bunch of those. Elbow grease root, by definition, is a root that my Uncle Grandpa Pritchard's definition, when he would say to me, "Joe, you need to put a little bit of elbow grease on it." And when I was a kid, I thought that your elbow actually did have grease somewhere attached to it. That's this root right here. I'll clean up that mess. Don't worry about it. Here's another fact about weeds. Weeding is hard work, and it is tough to remove them. My mother-in-law, I told you about her. Well, she's a prolific gardener until she sort of got bedridden in her 90s, sharp mind, bedridden. But she would be in her 80s. My mother-in-law's a little bit different. She would collect Georgia pine straw in a flower bed, put it all together, tap it on a rock, and cut it with scissors so that all the pine straw would be the same length in the flower bed. Do that for hours, picking up pine cones. She would work on a root with an axe for hours at a time. She was doing that one day, and I walked out and said, "Nana, it's hard for me to take a nap in here knowing you got that axe in your hand." It's hard work to get a root out. I said, "Give me the axe." But we are commanded, Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness. It's not an option. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Someone in the church offended you. Maybe it was someone offering their form of a well-intentioned rebuke. Maybe it was a hypocrite. Maybe it was a leader. And a root sprang up. Maybe you were a child, and that was years ago, decades ago. And it never quit growing. We are to work hard at getting our hearts right and all of that stuff out. I was preaching at my home church in Georgia where I got saved. I was gathering my Bible up and my notes, and I saw the pastor's wife talking to a lady way in the back, and she kept motioning like, go up. So I stepped down off the platform. I said, "Hi." She was walking slowly up to me. She said, "Do you remember me? I called you. Do you remember me? I said, I'm kind of drawing a blank. I've been gone a lot of years. When did you call me? 20 years ago? I said, ma'am, I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. That's a long time ago. You're going to have to refresh me. Yeah, I called you because my son was in trouble. And I said, I want Pastor Joe to talk to my son. So the secretary said, just a moment. She came back on the phone. She said, Pastor Joe said he'd never do that. She said, I've hated you for 20 years. My husband died last year hating you. I don't know who these people are. I said, ma'am, anything can get under the radar. But what you just said does not in any way sound like it represents my heart. I've driven 6 hours across state lines to be in a hospital at 6 o'clock in the morning for people having heart surgery that don't even like me. She said, well, that's what I was thinking when I heard you preach. It didn't sound like that would be the kind of person that you are. She had a root of bitterness that wasn't even true. Some of you might have that too. Perceptions and perspectives that sprang up. Number five root, ladies and gentlemen, we call this the chain it up root. You got to put a chain on it. Here's the definition of this root. This root right here, finger and a thumb ain't going to get it. You put all that, you can squeeze out all the elbow grease tube that you have, and it ain't coming up. There's got to be an outside force that you have to put on that thing to get it out. That's the definition. Here's a fact. You cannot see the root. Even you cannot see the root. An example of this is found in Acts chapter 8, verse 13. I referenced it last night at the altar. Simon himself believed and was baptized and continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. They were miracles and they amazed Simon. But Simon, all rights and intents, a believer, had a problem and he didn't see it. But God gave an x-ray to Simon Peter of his problem. Simon Peter read the x-ray. The passage goes on to say, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered him money. I'll remind you what I said last night. When he saw miracles, he didn't reach for his checkbook. But when he saw the baptism and the Holy Spirit, he reached for his debit card. Because that was more powerful even than miracles. He wanted to give them money. He said, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, I'm reading your x-ray. Your money perished with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You neither have part nor portion in this matter. For your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. He said, I see that you are poisoned. You are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. This is a hard thing to get out of your heart. In other words, Simon, you need to remove the root. And really, you didn't want to mess with Simon Peter, did you? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? You feel froggy, jump, baby, come on, let's go. And tries to cut somebody's head off. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? You don't want to mess with Simon Peter. Number seven, if you don't get all the root, the plant might just grow back. That's a lazy man's way of getting roots out, and that's what I do sometimes. I'm at the mailbox. My wife planted a horrible flag in our garden in honor of her mother, an Auburn graduate. I saw an Auburn flag in my garden. I said, what meaneth this, Cecilia? She said, oh, it's just an honor of my mom, blue and orange flowers. I immediately ran, got my Alabama flag, and put it on the mailbox. Everybody thinks we're bipolar in my neighborhood. But by that Alabama flag, I saw a root walking the dog the other day, and I pulled it, and the root didn't come out. And I was just too lazy to go get a shovel and get it, and I know it's coming back. If you don't deal with it, it's going to come back. I'm thinking of a pastor in Georgia. I heard him speak to 130 kids at an anti-alcohol conference in Navarre Beach. He was a college student at the time. He told his life story. He spoke of the time as a child that he would pray to God, not really knowing who God was. When he was 10 years old, he found a tape in the house. He didn't know what it was. He put it in the VCR. It was a pornographic tape. And right then, a root sprang up that he fights to this very day. Even if you have to, you got to chain it up. We got one more root. The definition of this root is called the no sir root. This is a root that you bring a thumb and an index finger to, and it really laughs loud. You use the full pull technique, and it says, You put the glove on, and it giggles and says, no. You get a chain, and it cracks its neck, and it bows its back, and it growls, and it says, We call this the no sir root, ladies and gentlemen. And this root right here is tough. That's a tough root right there. But I've met believers that have that in their heart. It's hard for me to get this in my carry-on luggage when I go flying on an airplane. Fact number 8, you can't grow or be affected with that in the way. I mean, you might grow a little something, but you're not going to grow what you're supposed to grow, as much as you're supposed to grow. Jesus said in Matthew 13, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. And here's the good news, and the gospel is good news. The last fact is this, Jesus removes the big roots. He's good at it. There's the application. Your spouse walks out. Your daddy walked out. Rejection, rage, grief, insecurity. Ma'am, you were created by God in his image, and you were created with a desire that comes from God for a righteous man to cup your cheeks in his hands and say, your daddy's a little girl, you're precious, you're a princess. For a grown man to cup his hands on your cheeks and call you his beautiful queen. And when something diminished that, something interfered with that, something derailed that, then bitterness can spring up. And you should get it when it's small. See, this root right here started like that. It started right there. And you're supposed to get it when it's small, but maybe you didn't know how to. You weren't equipped to. Nobody helped you with that. Maybe you go to a self-help book and it might help you a little bit, but it ain't going to get it out. Counseling, I'm a big believer in counseling. I've got a counselor. She's not going to get that out. Seminars ain't going to get that out. Make you feel a little better, but it just breaks off and the root doesn't come up. Call it rape, hate, molestation, whatever you want to call it. It has to come out. There's a Greek word that I like. It's called sozo. It means to rescue, to save, to deliver, to keep safe and sound from destruction and danger, to preserve one who's in danger of destruction is found 101 times in the New Testament. And over, the Lord knows how to sozo us, to get that out of our heart. I love this passage in Matthew 11. Just listen to 11, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree from afar, having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And in response, Jesus said to the tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. If I was with him that day, I'd say, hey, let's get away from the boss. He's having a day. He's having a day. He's cursing trees. The next day, look what happened. Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, from the roots, from the roots, from the roots, from, dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you have cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. We're living in a day when everybody gets canceled for everything and everybody gets offended by everything. You want to have a superpower in 2024? Be unoffendable. If you're unoffendable, you will be. Marvel can make a movie about you. The way to be unoffendable is remember you're dead. We have died with Christ. The life we live is no longer ours, but it's him. Dead people don't get offended. If you don't believe it, Next time you go to a funeral, say, Uncle Bill, you ugly. He ain't going to talk back. So you got to work hard and speak hard and say, you know, I can't do it by myself, Lord. I can't do it. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to reach right on down and get this root out of my heart. As I've been preaching, because this has happened when I preach this passage in other places, even pastors have said to me and to the congregation, while that passage was being preached, the Lord put a memory in my mind when I was a little boy and I saw my dad slap my mom in a car. Just weep. Big old 6'6" guy, MVP. Weep before his people. In conclusion, Matthew 13, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came to him and says, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then do we have the weeds and the tares? And he said to him, an enemy has done this. This comes from the enemy. It's a trick from the enemy. The servant said, do you want us to go and gather them up? The Lord has been called a lot of things. Wonderful counselor, Rose of Sharon, the balm of Gilead. He's the great physician. He's a lot of different things. But today we're going to call him an environmental contractor because he knows what to do with roots. He reemphasizes Matthew 13 and Matthew 17 when he says to the people, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you would just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So tonight, when you come up here in a moment, we're going to say, when you say to the mountain, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, how many millions of roots are you speaking to when you speak to the mountain? And we're going to speak to the mountain and say, in Jesus' name, get out that root of bitterness. Jesus knows how to reach in and pull out every single one. We are co-laborers with Jesus, so we've got to cooperate with his program and his plan. But if you do that, if you get all of that junk out, if you can just get all that stuff out, all of these roots, all these nasty roots, and reach way down in, you will find the fruit of the Spirit. It's in there. God will make you fruitful. He'll make you profitable. He'll make you successful. And I'm going to, if you guys want to come back, I'm going to share something. I told you it wouldn't be a real long sermon. I'm going to share something that I really don't want to share. But I will do whatever the Lord tells me to do. It's very personal and private. It's very personal and private. I got a text today from my sister, stepsister. She needs some money. You know why she needs some money? She needs a little help so that she can take my brother to his probation officer. I've been looking for my brother. I only got one. We were raised by the same daddy, 18 years different. Couldn't find him, but finally found him in prison when he called me and needed some money for his commissary. We were raised by the same man. I think the difference in our lives is not because I'm any better than him. I'm not an ounce better than him. It's this thing I'm talking about tonight. It's our heart. It's things that spring up. I'm going to give an example. I don't want to throw my dad under the bus because my dad rescued me when I was 3 years old, being raised by a mentally ill woman who abused me, put me in the attic by her own admission, put me in the attic. My dad rescued me, but then he got beaten near about to death in Tampa, Florida when I was 14 years old, and he was never the same. He was never the same. I was sitting in 2013 or 2009. I can't remember what year. I think it was 2013. I can't remember. I was praying. I like to pray outside sometimes. I was praying in the woods, just minding my own business with the Lord, just talking to him. There was nothing horrible going on. I was just regularly praying. I didn't do the waiting discipline like I did yesterday, 17 minutes part of the whole devotional aspect, the hour that we spend with the Lord. But I just praying, and I got a memory that hit my head. This memory hit my head. I was an 8-year-old boy, and I was going from Missouri to Georgia, and we stopped at a truck stop. And we're sitting at the truck stop. I'm 8 years old. Lady walks over. I can still see her. I'm 60 years old, 52 years ago. I can still see this woman. She was kind of a tall lady with dark hair and had an apron on. She said, "What can I get y'all?" She said, "What you want, young man?" And I said, "I want a catfish dinner." When I said I want a catfish dinner, my dad was sitting to my left. He used the Lord's name in vain, cussed angrily, and it scared me. It scared me. I didn't understand what was going on. I said, "No, I guess I don't want that." And he pounded the table. "Well, my God, you're going to get it. You're going to get that. You're going to eat everybody that catfish dinner." And my mom, I remember saying, "Wayne, he's going to eat it." And I didn't understand the nature of the stop. I guess it was just a Coke stop. But I didn't know. I was an 8-year-old boy. So I'm sitting in the woods as a grown man thinking about something I hadn't thought about forever. And I started crying so uncontrollably that I honestly thought I was having a nervous breakdown. "He, ordained minister of the Assemblies of God." I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I called a board member of mine's wife who has a ministry called Sozo. I said, "Gracie Denton, I'm sitting in the woods and I'm bawling my eyes out. What's going on, Joe? I had this memory. Am I losing my mind?" I told her about it. She just laughed. "Well, thanks a lot, lady." She just kind of laughed. She said, "Yeah, that happens. And you know what you did back then? You made vows, and we got to meet together, and we got to pray, and we got to undo those vows." I thought, "That's weird." But I started thinking about it. And I was a missionary for a few minutes. You know why I quit being a missionary? Because I can't ask people for anything. It was hard enough for me to just ask you to go look at those books. I don't like asking anybody for a catfish dinner for the rest of my life. I'm not going to ask you for anything. You ask Pastor Joe, there's no demands. When I come for whatever. But the other thing was, growing up with four kids, raising four kids as they grew up, if I had enough money to go to Applebee's or Chili's, and I could give the waitress a 20, 25% tip, and it was all the money I had, I would take my family. I know that's bad financial management, but I'm telling you, nobody in this world will ever tell me again that I can't get a catfish dinner. So I met with Gracie in my office. We just sat on metal chairs. There was nothing mystical about it. She had a notebook, and she opened it up, and she said, "Now, let's pray about this." And she kind of led us in a prayer, and then she went to another thing and led us in a prayer. And then between that experience and a men's conference just a few weeks later, I was at a men's conference on Joy Mountain, North Carolina, right after this Sozo experience. And God, I've heard all the old-timers talk about being drunk in the Spirit. I just thought that's something they said. I remember as a kid what it felt like to be drunk. I was on that mountain, and I got drunk in the Holy Spirit. I mean, totally, totally. He just came upon me. And when he came upon me that night, he reached right down into my heart, and he pulled that thing out. And I don't know what to tell you, except I'd probably still be doing ministry. I'd probably still be doing ministry. But when he pulled that root out, I'm telling you, he put Miracle-Gro on the fruit, and we started exponentially increasing. Maybe you need to ask God to help you with the root of bitterness. Now, I just shared with you transparently tonight my own experience. You don't think down of me. I bet you don't think worse of me. Nobody thinks worse of me, because we're human beings. They're going to play something. Before we pray for any sick person, the Holy Spirit is zeroing in on this. Oh, it doesn't mean that you've got this horrible, ugly heart. It just means that the Spirit of God has notified you. He's done a spiritual x-ray. You couldn't see the root. It's below ground. But he showed you, I can help you with that. When that person said that, I'm thinking of a minister right now, another MVP, super successful guy with a wife who's an incredible minister in her own right, but she still deals with insecurity because when she was a girl basketball player in high school, a coach said something stupid to her, and she's now grappling with it decades later. Let God get that root out of your life. Would you all stand? We have an environmental contractor. You are a great gardener. You told us to bear fruit that would remain, and you know how to cultivate the fruit, dig around, put some Miracle-Gro on it. You know how to get rid of the roots. And I've tried to obey you here, Lord, and just preach what you put on my heart. So many times, a minister, and Lord, so many of us are just insecure. I'm one of them. And we think that a response at the altar means we've ministered good and some kind of a pat on the back. I ain't praying that tonight. It don't have anything to do with that for me. It's about your people. It's about your people walking in freedom. It's about your people being fruitful. It's about your people bearing fruit that will remain and nothing in their heart. The Bible says that the root of bitterness was tied with healing in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Let the lame be healed. For the one in here that says it's nobody's business, the pain that I went through as a young man, young married man, my wife did the things she did. Help them see from the Word of God that it is people's business, because when we get troubled by a root, it defiles other people. Let us get that root out of our hearts, God, that other people will be blessed, encouraged, and strengthened because of our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this anointed worship couple is going to lead us in a moment. And if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you during the last few minutes about your heart, there is no shame in your game. Would you come and kneel or stand and give us the honor of just asking God? We'll just agree in Jesus' name that He'll reach right in, no matter what size, tiny or big, and get all that junk out and heal you of all that stuff for the glory of God. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Go ahead, y'all.
Thank you.
my friend, having brain surgeries and chemotherapy, she's not in remission anymore, and her son's getting married in 3 weeks, and she's going through aggressive chemotherapy as the brain tumor grows so fast. They're aggressively trying to get her to her son's wedding before she goes to Jesus. She's the toughest lady that I've known in a long time. What an inspiration. But I'm standing in for Jennifer Luke tonight. Do you have somebody that you love that's not here, but they need to be healed? And you care about them and it means something to you? Would you raise your hand if you're like me and just call their name to the Lord? Lord, send help from the sanctuary. I pray for Jennifer. Call their name out to the Lord. Call. I would pray. That God, you'll send help from the sanctuary. That you'll send your word to heal them. That you'll walk by them in a hospice room. Walk by them right now in an easy chair with oxygen on full blast, 3 liters. Walk by. Lay your hand upon them, Lord. Somebody on their deathbed, put your hand upon them, Lord. Lord, send your word and heal these people. We tear off the tiles and we push down the roof. We bring our loved ones to your feet and ask you to heal them. Bring healing. Healing is the children's bread. These signs follow them that believe. They lay hands on sick people and they are healed. Tonight, if you have a need in your own body, you need to be healed in your own body. I believe the Lord is present to heal. I know that's his nature. I know that's his character. These are the things I know. Whosoever will can be saved, no matter what you've done. There's only one unforgivable sin. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That means when the Holy Spirit convicts you, you just tell him to the very last breath, I don't want you. That's blasphemy. Anything else can be forgiven. Murder can be forgiven. And I also know that every forgiven person is a candidate for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. These are the things I know. When it comes to healing, I'm in sales and he's in management. I don't know everything about it, but I pray for everything. I pray for everything. I stalk people in pharmacies at the Walmart sometime if they got a limp. I want to lay hands on everybody. And tonight, if you need something in your own body and you believe that all things are possible, you believe we can speak to the little tiny mountains and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea and not doubt in your heart. If you believe that he's able and he's present and he loves you and he cares about you and that we have a high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, if you believe that, tonight you can be healed. I want you to come to this altar. Like popcorn, we'll kind of go around. I may not pray in a line. I may pray loud because when I pray for cancer and heart disease, sometimes I speak to the mountain with a loud voice. If you need to be healed in your own body, we won't take a long, long time, but we'll take enough time and lay hands on every single person and believe, especially those of you that are in pain. If you come to this altar and you're in pain, Pastor Joe and I, we pray for you. You go back and test it out. Test it out. See if the pain is gone. And you're welcome to come back like the Bible says the man did to Jesus. He prayed twice for a blind guy because he saw men like trees. You go test it out. And then you go show yourself to the priest. If you got a bad blood report, go show the doctor. Get a lab report. The priest was the doctor of the day and let them confirm the miracle that he has for you. God, 10 lepers were healed and 9 left. And never turned around, but one came back and said, thank you. And tonight, we're not competing with lepers. But in advance, thank you, Lord. It's a pretty strong anointing here tonight. In advance, God, for every person, the pain that you let go of their lives, every person, the pain that you, every person, the diagnosis changes. Every person that's healed in this room tonight, in advance, we give you the praise. And we promised you earlier, all the glory goes to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I might ask you, I might not. If I do, if it's personal, just say, that's none of your business. Or it's unspoken, and I won't be offended. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Gracias, mi Padre Celestial, por su presencia en esta iglesia, en esta noche. Gracias, Señor. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the word. Thank you for healing. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. I learned a long time ago that I'd rather obey God and look foolish than try to look cool disobeying, because that would never happen anyway. And so at the end of services like this, I just try to listen and see, is there something else, Lord? Do we miss anything? Is there something else, Lord? I think he wants to talk to all of us all the time, and it's like that Aflac duck, Aflac, you know, people don't listen, I don't listen, but when I get in these atmospheres, I try to listen. And I'm going to say a word, and if it resonates with you, it's up to you whether you want to obey or not. We don't want you to be embarrassed. Jesus isn't into embarrassing anybody. What we are about is bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. And if there's a brother or sister that's hurting, we want to rally to that person. And I feel like I heard this word, I'm not infallible, that somebody in this room that the Lord wants to minister to, in the area of your sleep, because of, here's the word, nightmares, disturbing your sleep, maybe not every night, but regularly, you have a nightmare, maybe the same one, maybe different one. That resonated. If something jumped in your spirit, don't say, well, he's talking about somebody else. No, the Holy Spirit's calling time out for you. We want to pray for you. I think I'd like to pray with you right where you are, but I want to know who you are. And there'll be some people that will put their hand. They'll hold your hands up. You can lift your hand and they'll hold your hand up. We'll ask God to set you free from that. Here's the word before you lift your hand, that you will lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. And remember this, he never slumbers, neither does he sleep. So because he's always on the job, we get to sleep. Sleep is a gift from God. Rest is a gift from God. So I said that word nightmare. If that's you, would you lift your hand up so we can pray for you? And I'm not going to be nervous about it. Is that you? That's you. Okay. You know, the Lord, he'll do a lot of things for just one person. He'll stop everybody in the crowd and say, who's that person that just touched the hem of my garment? Don't be embarrassed. In fact, I admire your strength. Slip your hand towards this man right here. God, let this be a mark in this young man's life that he will never forget, that from this moment, from this moment until the end of his long life, should Jesus tarry, that there's never an issue again, never an issue again. Solid Rock pleads and prays the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, over him. And the angel of the Lord camps round about those who fear him and delivers them. I pray that he'll feel the holy presence of God in his room, and that this will never be an issue again. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm proud of you. Proud of you. I got a hat up here for you. You can get one free of charge. I'm just proud of you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's worship God. From you are all things.
Let our praise arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let our praise is incense. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. God, you deserve the glory.
Lord, we just thank you today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our people, God. Lord, we thank you for what you did tonight. God, I'm believing that tonight some roots have been pulled out. And Lord, I'm believing that we're going to hear reports of the healings that took place in people's bodies. Lord, we know that you're able, and we pray that you continue to do that. And Lord, I pray that you watch over these people and bring them to their homes and bring them back here safely. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Invite your friends.